Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
LA Talk Radio and all podcasting platforms. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, wherever you're tuning in, whatever time it is. I appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in on Max and Friends. You know, thank you for joining us. Tonight, we're going to have, I'm live in the studio. So here we are. Rad is going to be joining us in just a bit because this is part two of our live class from last week when Rad was here. If you all remember Rad, you all wanted him back because I got some messages from you. And so we're going to pick up the conversation like promised. He'll be here in just a moment. But I've got to give you some fill-ins on what's going on with the Delmonico Way. So the book, as you all know, if you're following me on Instagram and Twitter, at Max Tucci, thank you for following me there. The book made number one on Amazon bestseller list. So thank you to you all for helping make that possible because, you know, it's you that's buying the book and putting it to where in the first bestseller list. So thank you for that. The words I don't have to express because this is the first time that I'm in this amazing position. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now I have a favor for you, listeners and friends and those who bought the Delmonico Way. Please go on to Amazon, regardless whether you bought the book there or not, and leave a review. It's super important to have reviews. I've learned from my publisher. So please leave reviews. And also, I had a call with my publisher. I'm kind of dropping this out there because it's in the works. Remember, if you can see it in your mind, you can create it in your reality. And I like to take it one step further, saying if you can see it in your mind, it's already created in your reality. It's now just up to you to link up with it and make it happen. So I'm writing the proposal now for a cocktail book. So there'll be cocktails and mocktails and everything in between. But send me some love and energy there. Speaking of love and energy, we had a wonderful weekend with my pals, Greg and Clive. And at my table the other night was, you remember the song Kiss the Rain from Billy Myers? That was my jam back in 1997. And literally, I remember to the detail. I had a 1995 Range Rover long wheel bass. It was in that like BMW blue with the big fog lights in yellow. And every time it would rain, I would put that CD in and play Kiss the Rain. And I would have to get out of the car and do a video and just be free. Like Felisa Latin Soul sings, where you can be free with me on Max and Friends. And so I had met Billy originally the first time last year, and it didn't dawn on me who she was until afterwards. I was like, oh my God, I love her. She's so beautiful. Her energy. I just love this woman. And then they're like, oh, Billy Myers, you remember the Kiss the Rain? I'm like, wait a minute, Kiss the Rain. Like, talk about bringing her into my reality. So we're going to play Kiss the Rain later tonight. I love Billy, and she'll be here on Max and Friends in the near future. But I love you all for supporting the show, Max and Friends. We're going to be 15 years this May here on LA Talk Radio. Speaking of LA Talk Radio, LA Talk Radio, Sam, congratulations to you. 15 years this February, LA Talk Radio will be broadcasting shows that they've been doing for 15 years on a station where it says we say what we want. So I'm super psyched to be here for 15 years. I know I'm one of the originals. Like, I'm the OG of podcasting before podcasting was even podcasting. It was then called internet radio, and we could never book anybody. we would call and publicists would be like, what's internet radio? No, what's this? I'm like, all right, okay. And then, you know, thank gosh, I had a Rolodex with some friends in it. That's how it became Max and Friends. But if you all remember, the journey was originally called To the Max. And that was 15 years ago on BBS Talk Radio. Then it transitioned to LA Talk Radio. And then Max and Friends was born. So thank you for being part of this journey with me. We've learned a lot. You know, I love this saying, we're all still learning. So tonight, we're all still learning. And what we're learning a few things. We're learning about listening to our pain. And, you know, there's a great question that's proposed. It's out there now. It's a book that Oprah did called What Happened to You? Instead of What's Wrong with You? What happened to you? And is that happening to you something that now affects your health? Are you listening to your pain? So we want to talk about that because we talked about that last week. And I appreciate you all for being part of that because it's true. Like, we need to listen to our pain. And when Rad was on, we left you off with thoughts, breath, movement, nutrition, hydration, sleep. And you all like reached out to me and said, you left the show with us not knowing. And I said, stay tuned because Rad will be back. And Rad, as you learned, is an ex-video game addict who transformed his life over the past decade and now helps people help themselves through Chinese medicine and lifestyle modifications. He's here to give you practical advice on overcoming challenges in your life. And if you follow him on Instagram, and I hope you all do, go there right now and follow Rad, RadRadOSLAV, with over 260,000 followers, including the likes of Sharon Stone and Tucci. We get daily doses and lessons of how to like treat neck tension and how to poop properly and all bunch of stuff and intestinal pain and troubles falling asleep and cracking your neck and sleep points. And will you never lose weight? You will never lose weight, or will you ever lose weight? So he has a great book we're going to talk about tonight too, called How to Lose Weight Without Working Out or Counting Calories, a lifestyle guide to healthy fat loss. And it's true, you know, when I was doing, there's a lot to unfuck the brain and how we eat, you know, so we're going to talk about that tonight because there's a rhythm about the brain and about, you know, literally or how we eat. You know, we're programmed to eat in a certain way, how we grew up in a lifestyle. And so that can contribute to weight gain. And so when we really like break the patterns and pathologies of how we eat and understand how to eat, I promise you, because I'm a living truth to it, that you, weight can literally shed off in a healthy way. So stay tuned tonight because we're going to talk about that. But right now, welcome back to the show, Rad, to Max and Friends. Hey, what's up, Rad?
Hey, Max, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And I love the birds. It's like binaural beats on top of having you here. It's like so perfect. There's such a high frequency with that bird. Tell us where you are right now.
I'm on Koh Phangan in Thailand. So I'm on a little island full of hippies.
And loving and birds and nature.
A lot of nature, a lot of birds, a lot of beaches, sunlight, good food here.
Paradise.
So I'm just taking this opportunity to treat myself a little, but keep working.
I love it. So last time you were here, we were talking about listening to your pain. So for those who missed the show and they're tuning in for the part two of last week's part one, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you transformed your life.
Yeah, so growing up, my parents worked a lot. I spent a lot of time at home just playing video games by myself, often 10 plus hours a day. Bowls of cereal, McDonald's, chips, cookies, like that was a staple of my diet. No movement, no mind therapy. And what I've come to learn over the years is that was my coping mechanism for dealing with my emotions and numbing myself. And so through kinesiology, through Chinese medicine, through Qigong practice, working inwards to heal myself, I start to unpack and see the shadows of my life. And then I'm able to project light on it in a conscious way to help bring that through. And so what I do with a lot of my content now is just helping people understand what their pain means and then giving them a direction to work with. Because a lot of times, you know, you have a specific symptom, headaches, heart problems, liver, cancer, and you just think you have it out of nowhere. But it actually unfolds kind of like a blueprint, like a manual in your body that if I do these things, my body will react with pain and disease. If I do these other things, it's going to react with health and vitality. So we're not taught growing up, and what I wasn't taught is actually how to tap into that, like a human manual. So that's what I do with my content, is I just teach people how to take care of themselves and not be reliant on a system or externality.
I love it. So one way would you think is listening?
100%, and not just externally, but internally.
Exactly. You know, and what does that mean to listen to your pain? Because we talked about that last week, but what does it exactly mean? Because, you know, I know that listening to your pain, we talk about it here often, you know, there's the whisper. And just as we whisper, the body whispers, and it's calling, you know, it's calling your name, and it's saying to you, do you hear me? Do you see me? Do I matter? And we don't listen. So how do we start listening to our pain, to the whisper?
Well, I'd start with habit building. So there's three things to building a habit. It's trigger, action, and reward. This is kind of always playing unconsciously in our brain. We come home, we talk to someone, we open the drawers in the kitchen, we get up in the morning. There's these triggers all around us. And when you start bringing consciousness, when you start listening, okay, when I come home, I usually do these negative patterns and actions. Why am I doing those negative patterns and actions? There's a trigger. Me coming home, me taking off my jacket, me talking to my spouse, opening the fridge. So once you start identifying these things that trigger an emotional response in you on a subconscious level, then you can start replacing those things. So first is the awareness, and then knowing, okay, when I do this, it leads to self-sabotaging problematic behavior that doesn't help me in the long run. So I identify those and then slowly start to replace them. So for practical reasons, let's say you wake up in the morning, the first thing you want to do is drink coffee, because you've done it all your life. Instead, once you feel that urge to drink coffee, you take three deep breaths in through the nose and say, I love myself. That is now replacing the action of drinking the coffee. So the state in your body that you feel like, oh, I need to drink coffee, it's automatic. And then the action is to drink coffee and you feel a little reward, a little dopamine hit. Instead of using coffee to get that dopamine hit, you can replace this with any vice you have. You want to use deep breathing to help trigger that state and give you a different kind of reward.
Mm-hmm. So give us some techniques on breathing, because, you know, I read, don't be a mouth breather, breathe through your nose, don't breathe through your mouth. What do you suggest is an optimal way to breathe for those that are able to breathe in a way that, you know, there's no compromise?
Right. So first understand why you want to change your breathing pattern. We take on average around 25,000 breaths a day. And if you're doing that incorrectly, it adds up over the years. So generally when people breathe incorrectly, they're breathing through their mouth, they're using their shoulders and their neck muscles, so they get a lot of neck trap tension, and they're not engaging their diaphragm. A lot of times people are actually really shy to engage the diaphragm because they don't want their belly to stick out. In our society, we value that thin waist, being thin and pretty, so people suck it in all the time, which disengages the diaphragm and forces you to breathe in a way that simulates stress. So the opposite of doing that is breathing through the nose, breathing deep into the belly and letting your belly go and expand forwards. Another really important point here is when we're taught belly breathing techniques, we usually think forwards. So let my belly go forwards. That's only one third of the way there. You really need to breathe into your rib cage and into your lower back. And in doing so, your body starts to whisper to you. So when I do that and I go 360 degree breathing, it really helps me drop out of my head and into my body, and I'm in a much more receptive state to listen. Imagine I have 50 phones ringing off the hook, and the 50th phone is the one for my stomach pain or my shoulder pain. It's very hard to listen when there's so many thoughts and phones ringing. When you do that deep breath and pull yourself into the body, you can really hear the unique individual phone calls of each organ or problem or challenge you have in your life.
I love it. And I just put my mic on mute because I was totally getting into the breath. It's so beautiful. You know, and like I said, and I people who know, my grandmother was a yogi. And so she taught me breath at like literally 13 years old. So to breathe and to breathe in a way where your body expands and you just like take in this breath of life. It's so amazing. So yeah, breath is a huge thing. And we're going to talk about it because last week we spoke about listening to your pain. And so Rad broke down some aspects of thoughts, breath, movement, nutrition, hydration, and sleep. And if you're tuning in right now, thank you. You're listening to Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio and all podcasting platforms. My guest tonight is Rad, and we're talking about really listening to your pain and living a life where, you know, you can be happy. Imagine being happy for those that aren't. What does that mean to you? And later on in the show, we're going to talk about how to lose weight without working out or counting calories. and reprogramming your brain. That's a huge thing when it comes to weight loss. So I look forward to for all of you joining us tonight on Max and Friends. So let's get into listening to your pain and what we spoke about, which are thoughts, breath, movement, nutrition, hydration, and sleep. Thoughts. Let's expand on that a little bit. And what does that mean?
Yeah, so thoughts are kind of those unconscious patterns that until you become aware of them, you're not really aware that they're dictating 95% of your life. So there's a book called The Power of Now, where you try and get into the moment and you're focusing on what voices you hear in your own head. And so we all have these patterns of, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, I shouldn't do this, I'm feeling bad today, I'm feeling good today. That voice in your head isn't actually you. Because if it was you, it wouldn't be sending you constant negative feedback trying to sabotage you in life. So therefore, we just have to start listening and become aware that there is a voice playing in the background. And instead of being absorbed and pulled into it, which takes us out of the moment, we need to start being aware that, hey, there's like a movie or a voice recorder playing in my head. It's not me. I'll just listen to it. And when you start listening to it, it becomes quiet because it realizes it's being listened to instead of manipulating the person who has the voice in the head.
So how do those program beliefs and program thoughts, like how do they run our lives?
Yeah, so from the age of 0 to 7, you're very impressionable. And so something like religion is on most people's level based on whatever your parents' religion is, that's your religion. And so there's 3 levels of wisdom, which I like to talk about. So level 1 is I'm growing up as a child. My parents are Christian. They're the ones that are feeding me, keeping me alive. They know everything about this world. They're my God for all intents and purposes. So I listen to them. It's like, level 1 wisdom, my parents said this, and I believe in them so much, it must be true. Therefore, Christianity, or sex before marriage, or doing drugs, whatever, that's the truth. Then as you get older, you start to access level 2 wisdom, which is the ability to, if you choose, to break your beliefs. Guess I'm born a Christian, I'm raised a Christian, I'm going to read some stuff on Judaism today, or Taoism, or whatever other religion. And I can come at it with a closed mind like, nope, they're definitely wrong, I'm right. And that's level 1 wisdom because there's no real thought into it. Level 2 would be like, okay, I've read this book. I've read this book. They have conflicting thoughts. I'm going to make my own decision on it. And level 3 is to live the wisdom. Okay, so someone says, don't eat fat and I will lose weight, feel healthier and happier. Okay, I stopped eating fat and I'm getting fatter. I'm not getting healthier and I feel worse than before. Level 2 wisdom, which is where a lot of people are stuck on, and level 1 wisdom is that I believe this, I've read evidence, and people have told me about it, so therefore it's true, but they ignore the actual wisdom of their experience. Okay, when I do this, is it actually benefiting me? And that's a lot of the content I talk about. It's like, try it for yourself, don't take my word for it, see how your body reacts. And in my book, that's how I write. I don't give super specific detailed diet advice. It's like, hey, here's how your body works, here's the scientific background to it, and give it a try and see how you work. So I don't say, like, you must eat these foods 100%. It's like, eat these foods, see how your body feels. Always bouncing between those 3 levels of wisdom. The more you live in wisdom level 3, generally the better better calibrated your life is going to be.
Yeah, I love it. Now, breath, we spoke about a little bit, but really, what is the importance of, like you said, breathing properly and breathing into your ribs and into your lower back? What does it then do for our brain and for our whole, you know, for just living?
Yeah, very good question. So in nature and all other animals, humans, we've kind of pulled ourselves out of real living in nature. Sorry, someone's riding a bike. In the sense that our body functions in 2 different modes and is always oscillating between a rest and digest, where we're recovering, we're building testosterone, growth hormone, our muscles are repairing, we feel good, and a stress mode where we're hunting something or we're being hunted. In our modern society, we don't hunt and we don't get hunted in that same sense, but our body experiences that. And the main way it can experience that is through breath. So if I'm trying to run away from an animal, I'm probably not going to breathe through my nose and shallow. I'm going to be breathing as much as I can, as heavy as I can, to provide as much oxygen energy to survive. If I'm constantly sending that signal to my body through breath, then I'm never able to achieve a relaxation mode where my body can recover. This is critical for disease. Disease manifests when there's constant stress happening to the body. And that could be work, emails, mortgage payments, kids, spouse. But like I said, we take 25,000 breaths a day, every day. So if at the fundamental level, the thing that's dictating stress is not under control, the rest of your stress is not going to be under control. So throughout the day, if you can tap into your breath, you're sending, it's like pushing two different buttons. One button says, stress, animal, run, get the fuck out. The other button says, chill, you can relax. So when you do the deep breathing, you're hitting the chill, you can relax button. When you're not focusing on it, you're hitting the stress, get the fuck out button.
I love it. And then that turns into movement. So how does movement play a huge part of our health?
Huge. Our ancestors used to travel like 10, 20 miles a day, walking constantly. And us, we're stuck in bed 8 hours a day, not moving. We're stuck in a chair all day, not moving. In Chinese medicine, we get the stagnation of qi and blood. In Western medicine, you get the stagnation of blood, lymphatic fluid, synovial fluid, and cerebrospinal fluid. So these resources need to be pumping through our body constantly in order to remove waste and bring nutrition. If our organs, our muscles, our glands, our eyes, our ears are not able to receive nutrition and remove waste, they start to deteriorate over time. So over 20, 30, 40 years, that leads to a lot of negative consequences. Versus if you move enough, you're pumping the fluid kind of like a car. For the mechanic out there, if you're not running and turning on your car, allowing the fluid to move through, the oil to lubricate the system, it's going to dry up. It's going to become gunky. We all know we need to change our oil every 5,000 miles or kilometers, whatever it is. It's the same thing in the body. You need to do an oil change every day. That could be walking for 30 minutes, could be going to the gym for 30 minutes. The important part is to find something you actually enjoy. Obviously, weight training, body weight training, I think is the best. Swimming is also really good. But if you don't enjoy those activities, you need to start somewhere. So whether it's going for a walk, playing golf, playing tennis, something to pump your body on a daily basis. It's like giving you that oil change and you really, your body is craving for it every day. So if you have any joint pain and stuck emotions, just get out there and move. Everyone has the accessibility of walking. Even if it's freezing cold outside, we can talk about the benefits of temperature later. It's still a good thing. So just get out there and move.
I love it. Get out there and move. You know, my grandmother, Grandma Letty, she passed away at like 90-something years old. She was a yogi. She danced. She flew planes. Her movement was her life. Every single thing she did was around movement. You know, even when we were in the car and she would be in the back and I would turn around and she would have like her legs up and she would be like doing the cycle with her legs. She was constantly moving to the point where even at 90, she never needed glasses because she was constantly doing that oil change like Rad is saying. So if you're joining us, we're talking about your life and how to live a better life here on Max and Friends. And, you know, we were talking about new year, new now. Forget the new year because it's the now moment that we're living in. You know, some people might not make it to next year. So live this year as like the best year as you ever. Just live in this now, in this, like we're like in this beautiful movement of just living right now. And so enjoy it. You know, if you're coming out of like you were in these lockdowns and you see all of this negativity around, you have the like the ability to break that pattern and those pathologies in your life to just live a better life that includes movement. So move, move, move. All right, nutrition. Nutrition plays a huge part in everyone's life. And for those of you who know that, like maybe, you know, yeah, those chicken nuggets at McDonald's are good with the sweet and sour sauce and a large Coke with that ice. The marketing is amazing. They know how to get you. And like those cravings, those Taco Bell cravings. I hear you all. I get it. I get them too. But nutrition plays a huge part in living a healthier, happier life. So Rad, tell us about nutrition.
So all the cells in your body are constantly being created, dying, created, dying, and they're being created from the food that you're eating. So if you're eating crappy quality food, if you're not getting the essential amino acids, proteins, fatty acids, you're gonna start suffering. And for me, how that really translates is like if I eat poor quality food, I become depressed the next day. I don't sleep well. I start to get pimples. So my body is talking to me. That's the whisper. Like, hey, you had McDonald's yesterday. We're going to give you some pimples and we're going to make you feel like shit now. The problem is that a lot of people, your body will habituate to that. So if I do it for a week, a month, my body will say, oh, this guy's not getting the message. We're going to have to chill out a little bit. So I don't get the same level of annoyances from eating those foods. But over time, 5, 10, 20 years, my body can't keep ignoring that. My mind can't keep ignoring that. So again, breakdown starts to happen. I want to give people a really useful tip for this because I still struggle with food cravings. I want chocolate. And what I notice is when I get that trigger, that craving, okay, the next action kind of feels like I must eat this chocolate bar. It's like I have to. There's like I'm an addict. It's like, oh, it's got to happen. You got to catch that moment where you feel the sensation rising. You're coming towards the action and make a dedicated choice beforehand, premeditated, that when I feel this sensation, when I get this trigger, I will take 3 deep breaths through the nose and say, I love myself. And then tune into the dopamine feeling. So if I were to eat that candy bar, brain chemicals, a cocktail of hormones would say, I feel good. That was satisfying. When I do breath work and I say, I love, those same hormones are triggered in me. And now I'm still getting a reward, but I'm not doing some damage to get there. So I'm breaking the action by hopping onto the neurological pathway in the brain. There's something known as Hebb's Law, where neurons that fire together wire together. We can imagine a dense forest and an elephant is walking across certain paths and it's building those paths for me. So that is me feeling the trigger or craving for a chocolate bar. I easily get on that path behind the elephant and I have the chocolate bar. So in order to start making new pathways in the brain to build new habits, we want to hijack that route with the elephant, but change it a little bit. So we notice the elephant's starting to go down that route. I feel the craving. I must have this chocolate bar. Then we say, no, wait, I said if I feel this, I will take 3 deep breaths through the nose and say I love myself. Then at the end of that, you feel into the reward that happened by doing that, because the breath, the positive self-talk stimulates feel-good hormones in the brain, similar to that of having a chocolate bar. Over enough time, that then becomes the default pattern. Then when my body feels this way, we'll remove the label of craving. I just take 3 breaths automatically and it makes me feel better. And that can be applied to any bad habit.
You know, when you talk about breath and inhalation through the nose, for the sake of confusion, if any, for anyone tuning in, where do we exhale from, our nose or our mouth?
Good question. Keep exhaling through the nose.
Yeah. You know, don't be a mouth breather, right?
Yeah. An extra tip too is like if you keep the tongue on the roof of the palate, as a child, when we have a lot of sugar, it tends to raise the hydrogen and the acidity of the blood. And in order to get that out, we have to breathe through our mouth so we can dump more carbon dioxide. As a child that's developing, having a bunch of candy, sugars, it forces you to be a mouth breather. It stunts the development of the jaw because the tongue, when it's on the roof of the mouth, provides pressure to the teeth to help expand them and to make sure there's enough room in the jaw. So it's a vital function for children to be taught this, to like, hey, try not to breathe through your mouth because of that physiological growth that happens.
Yeah. All right, hydration. There's so much rumor about hydration. How much do we need? A gallon, a liter, 8 glasses a day. What is your take on hydration and how are ways to get it?
Yeah, so let's start with the amount. If you're not drinking any water, I don't recommend going to 2 liters or a gallon. Your body's just not going to be able to take it. It's something new. It's like going to the gym. You want to distribute it throughout the day. So I usually start my morning with 1 to 2 glasses of water because I've been breathing a lot through the night. It dehydrates me. From there, we want to...
I love it.
Oh, gosh. Thailand.
No, it's beautiful. We're bringing in a whole new vibration of Thailand into Max and Friends. It's perfect.
Yeah. So you want to adjust to your body. If you're not used to it, my preferred way to start, I used to drink a lot of milk. Okay, milk is not really good for you to drink. So I get this craving, and then I replaced it with drinking a glass of water preemptively towards drinking milk. So let's say I got a craving for soda, for coffee, for milk. I will force myself to drink a cup of water first. And then if I feel thirsty or I still want the other thing, I will take it. Most of the time, I don't feel that craving anymore, and I don't want it. So that's a really good way to start for people. And realize that a lot of diseases as we get older is due to hydration. Our bones are becoming dry, our skin is becoming dry, our tendons are becoming dry. And things that are dry in nature tend to snap and break very easily. Yeah. Things that are moist and bendy last for a much longer time. So you can see babies, they're very watery, they're very bendy. 80, 90-year-olds, dry, brittle. So the hydration is really good for anti-aging, for the skin, for the stomach, for everything. So just build up slowly, and you'll know you're doing too much. If you have to pee like 4 times in 1 hour, it's coming out really clear. That means you're not holding the water anymore. So if you're drinking a gallon and you're just peeing it out, it's not hydrating you. Slower is better. Putting a little bit of Himalayan sea salt, so a little bit of minerals, is going to help your body to absorb it as well. And I advise people to not drink a lot of water before, during, or after a meal, because that water dilutes the stomach acid. So if you have digestive issues, you really want to make sure digestive acid is as strong as it can be, and not drinking too much in the meal times.
So how long should one wait after to drink water?
Give it 30 to 60 minutes.
And then should water be cold or room temperature?
Room temperature or warm. Yeah. Great. Thanks for asking that. Because the cold water, it's a shock to the system. And if you're drinking a whole bunch of it and it's really cold, it just takes a long time for your body to warm it up. And while it's doing that, it's closing the sphincters, and it's kind of making your intestine shudder. It's not going to enter your small intestine if it's cold, because your body won't allow it to do that. But your body and your digestive system function best at a certain temperature. So if you're drastically decreasing the temperature in your stomach and you're trying to digest something, it's basically freezing that function.
I love this. Now, when you say sea salt, how much should we add to our water?
Just like a tiny pinch. Your water should not taste salty.
Yeah. Got you. All right, now we're going to move on to sleep. Sleep is a huge thing. And I wish I were there with you, because I just want to witness all of these, the magic that's happening there right now. I love that we have this in the background. It's so cool. So sleep is a big thing. And, you know, I have a friend of mine, we say, do you take naps, you know, during the day? And he goes, unintentionally, you know. So tell us about sleep, naps, and when is the best time to sleep and the best time to nap?
Okay, so we have a circadian rhythm, which is dictated by the sun and the moon. Obviously, where you live in the earth, you got a little bit different sun and moons, so you got to adjust to yourself. So I'm going to give you the general idea of it, is that I like to get up around 6, which is when the sun rises where I am, and I walk outside for 10 to 30 minutes to get enough sunlight in my body to stimulate something known as a cortisol spike. This cortisol spike raises my energy, and it happens once every 24 hours. I learned this from Dr. Andrew Huberman. Great resource. Go check him out. But when this happens, it sets off a fuse for about the next 14 to 16 hours, such that when 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock comes around, my body's now producing melatonin, which helps me feel sleepy. And now I can actually fall asleep. Versus a lot of the times people experience this cortisol spike around 9, 10, 11, 12, and therefore they don't feel tired until midnight, 1 or 2 a.m. So an easy way to improve your sleep is just to dedicate waking up when the sun rises and getting yourself outside as soon as possible. Sleep is also the best medicine for your body. So if you're not sleeping and you're doing everything else right, like, this is the first access point I would hit with people. Just because when you go to bed from 10 to 2, if you're sleeping, that's when your physical body is recovering. So it's when testosterone is produced, when growth hormones produce, all the recovery things you need to help heal your body. From 2 to 6 is when mental healing starts to happen. So if you're going to bed at 2 a.m., you're skipping the most powerful phase of physical healing. And if you're dealing with cancer, heart disease, whatever problem it is, and you're not sleeping from 10 to 2, you're missing the biggest window of anabolic recovery that your body has. Now, when it comes to napping, I, for the most part, try to avoid it. I will do some meditative naps for a limit of 10 to 20 minutes, but you really have to put an alarm clock to stop yourself from drifting beyond that 20 minutes, because it will mess up with your ability to sleep at night.
Mm. So important to know all of this stuff. So we're going to talk about movement now again, because we're going to play the song Kiss the Rain. So if you're in the mood right now to just dance and just make your body move, like, let's go flashback to 1997. Billy Myers, I love her, Kiss the Rain. And when we're back, we're going to talk to Rad more about his book, How to Lose Weight Without Working Out or Counting Calories. But right now, we're going to Kiss the Rain on Max and Friends. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. That was Billy Myers' Kiss the Rain. Can you hear me when your body says listen? Your body's saying, can you hear me? Can you hear me? So can you hear me now? Because we're listening to Max and Friends right here on LA Talk Radio and all podcasting platforms. My guest tonight is Rad, who's an ex-video game addict who transformed his life over the past decade and now helps people heal themselves through Chinese medicine and lifestyle modifications. Are you ready to modify your life? Well, if weight loss is one of them and you want to know how to lose weight without working out or counting calories, welcome back, Rad, because we're going to talk about it in his new book, A Lifestyle Guide to Healthy Fat Loss. So, Rad, tell us about this book and what inspired you to write it.
Yeah, the inspiration is mostly lifestyle-based. So working with clients over the past 10 years, what are the common themes and patterns that lead to success, lead to failure? And basically, instead of paying me thousands of dollars to tell you all this stuff, I thought, let me put it all into a book. When someone asks me a question, it's like, here's the book. This will guide you through everything. We don't have to sit here for 10, 20 hours breaking it down. You know, the title's a little interesting because, you know, how to lose weight without working out or counting calories. The counting calorie part, it's important, but not really. You know, Max, do you know what a calorie is?
Tell me what a calorie is, because that's what I've been trying to learn my whole life. And when I look at things and it's like, this is 9,000 calories, what does it even mean?
To me, it means nothing. It's a unit of energy that you use to heat up water and raise like a gram of water by 1 degree Celsius. So why that became, it just sounds like mumbo jumbo. I have a 1 gram of water and I'm raising it by 1 degree Celsius. Therefore, that is a calorie now. And therefore, if I eat 4,000 of those, I will gain or lose weight.
I don't understand that.
Kind of nonsense. The idea that calories in, calories out, on thermodynamics, thermoregulatory system, yes, in and out have to equal. But what's really important is how your hormones dictate the rate that you burn calories. So, for example, if I eat 2,000 calories of chocolate versus 2,000 calories of veggies and meat, on a intellectual level, we know that that's going to make my body feel different. So if someone keeps eating 2,000 calories of chocolate every single day for 6 months, I would predict that their health would severely decline because they're just eating empty calories and sugar. So when you eat a bunch of sugar, it raises something called insulin. Insulin is a very important hormone, usually related to diabetes. And when you eat food, particularly carbohydrates, it raises your insulin level in your blood. So insulin is a hormone that floats in your blood. The more food you eat and the more carbs you eat, the more insulin needs to be released in order to remove that sugar from your blood. If you have too much sugar in your blood, diabetes occurs, a lot of unhealthy inflammation occurs. So your body doesn't want to let that happen by increasing the insulin. However, after you eat a meal, that insulin stays in your blood for many hours afterwards. And while insulin is in your blood, it suppresses another hormone called glucagon. Glucagon is a hormone that when it's in your bloodstream in high amounts, it opens the doors to the fat cells in order to pull energy from those fat cells. So when insulin is in your body is signaling store energy into fat cells. And because that insulin hovers in your bloodstream for so long, it inhibits the ability for glucagon to go in and release the stores. So your body gets trapped in limbo because you get this giant insulin spike, the sugar is removed from your blood, and now you have low blood sugar, which makes you feel tired, it makes you crave, makes you want to eat more because you can no longer access the fat stores in your body due to the glucagon being low. I hope that makes sense. I usually use a chart for this demonstration.
I love it. Well, you know, they can get your book to learn more about it, which is How to Lose Weight Without Working Out or Counting Calories. They can find it right on your website or right through your Instagram. But I want to talk to you about reprogramming the brain, because I think out of the whole thing with the book, this is one of the most important that I've learned through weight management is through, really how our brains are just these programs that we have, these pathologies that we have on eating and or eating habits, you know, where all these things are taught, like you said earlier in the show, religion. You know, if you're born into a Christian family, you'll understand Christianity. If you're born into a family that eats unhealthily, that's how you're going to eat. And so you realize, like, the Michael Jackson song, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. So how do we start with the man in the mirror, and how do we reprogram our brain to eat healthier?
Great question. So it always starts with identifying your desire, your purpose, your love in life. What are you willing to sacrifice for in order to achieve? And this can go two ways. So one way is you know that you want to be a professional golfer, a parent, you want to live a long life, you want to make $1 million. You have some strong desire. And without that strong desire, nothing else will fall into place. So usually when people start a diet or a workout plan, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to start losing weight today. I'm going to eat a couple salads. And the next day they've completely forgotten about it, because there's no anchor to a desire or future outcome. There's a great quote that says, if you don't sacrifice for what you want becomes the sacrifice. So when you identify your wants, desires, purposes, then you realize that, okay, if I don't eat healthy, if I don't take care of my weight, I will never achieve those. And now the thing that I want is becoming a sacrifice because I'm not willing to change a little bit of the diet, go for a walk, feel uncomfortable. So number one is building a strong reason for change. So sometimes people will tell me too, okay, I don't know what my purpose is in life. I have no goals. I have no desires. Then you start with the nightmare in life. What don't you want to keep experiencing? Going to a 9-to-5 job, waking up at 11 o'clock, being unhealthy, not being able to go upstairs. Then you take all those and you flip them into your new dream. By the way, I learned a lot of this from Paul Cech in the Cech Institute. Huge shout out. This is using his system and the first step, which is identifying your love and your desires. And then it's about taking that, creating long-term goals. Like in 6 months, I would like to weigh X amount of pounds. In 1 year, I'd like to have X amount of money in the bank. And then you bring it into a daily value. Okay. So we have progress goals, which is losing 20, 60 pounds, having $1 million in the bank. It's a definitive goal. Today, I can't just have $1 million in my bank account. So that goal is just out of reach from where I'm starting. I can't be 150 pounds, 200 pounds, whatever it is. So you break that big goal down into 5 minute, 10 minute bite-sized chunks. So if I want to lose 20 pounds by 6 months, that means today I must spend 10 minutes walking outside. I must meditate for 10 minutes. I will go to the gym for 20 minutes. So now we have 40 minutes of new habits that you're committing to that will help you reach the goal. And now on a daily focus, it's like, did I do the habit that's going to help me reach the goal in the future? And now it's a small bite-sized action rather than a number on a scale or in the bank, which is very difficult to measure and track. That's the root of the reprogram, is desire, setting out the goals, and then making those goals into daily habits using the trigger action reward system, a couple other systems I talk about. Before you even tackle on, okay, I'm going to go to the gym for 30 minutes. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z to lose weight. I'm going to get rid of this. You really need to identify desire and why you want to do it. Otherwise, you won't stick with it.
I love it. So if you want to get more information on the book, How to Lose Weight Without Working Out or Counting Calories, which is a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual guide to fat loss, then go check out Rad right now on Instagram. Follow him there. If you love the show, let us know. Tweet me at Max Tucci, Instagram me at Max Tucci. Let me know what's going on. Follow him. Tell him. Ask him. He's there. He's got some great courses, so we'll keep a lookout. They sell out fast, so if you want one, you got to be in it to win it. So follow him and know what's going on in his life and where he is and what he's teaching you and how you could live a healthier, happier life, because that's really what I want you all to do. So we're going to wrap this show up now. I love you all for tuning in. Before we go, obviously, Rad, what do you want people to take with them into this now moment?
Into this now moment, really decide what's important in your life. Like I said, that quote, whatever you want in life, if you don't sacrifice for it, it becomes the sacrifice. So bring that to real consciousness, because we have these goals in the back of our mind, like lose weight, have some money, blah, blah, but it's in the back of the mind. And at that point, it's being the sacrifice. We only have a certain limited amount of time on this planet in this form, shape, energy ball. And if you don't bring to the forefront what you really want in life or what you really don't want in life and start making actions, you're just going to keep sacrificing and sacrificing, but you're making the wrong sacrifice.
So on that note, I'm opening this book. I just opened your book to number 5, Lose Weight While You Sleep. And the Dalai Lama said, sleep is the best medication. So I'm going to take that as a note to myself, because I'm in that midnight hour here and I've got to get up at 7, and I'm falling into the pattern of how you used to live because I just read that chapter. So I've got to go to bed. I love you all for tuning in. Rad, have an awesome day. What I want you all to take with you into this now moment is to be still and know. Yes, right now where you are is exactly where you're supposed to be. And if you don't like where you are right now, then change doesn't change until you change. So it's up to you to take that step, that first step, and just to like look at yourself. And you know, in those 3 breaths, when you say, I love myself, do it in the mirror. Look at yourself and do it and tell yourself, I love myself. I love you. I love you for tuning in. Thank you so much for being a part of Max Offense. And remember, please go to Amazon and write a review for my book, The Demonical Way. Even if you didn't buy it on Amazon and you have it, you can still review it there. So Rad, until next time, thank you so much for being here again on Max and Friends. I really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Max.
Of course. And then how can we find you just one more time?
It's Rad Radoslav on Instagram, RadRadOslav. That's the place to find me.
Perfect. And we'll find you there. And until next time, I love you all for tuning in. Remember to take life to the max. And I'm going to say good night. And good karma. Until next time, I'm your host, Max Tucci from Max and Friends. Peace.